Good morning. Welcome to Radioactivity. I'm Rob Lurie. Coming up, we're going to talk about the increased number of COVID-19 cases and what it means for us here in the Tampa Bay area. We'll also look at the outcome of that arrest of New England Patriots owner Robert Kraft. He went to a massage parlor and got arrested more than a year ago. Well, that case is being resolved. We'll talk about that in just a few minutes. But first, one listener comment about yesterday's program. Yesterday, we continued to talk about the outcome of the presidential election. And here's what one listener had to say.
I just wanted to comment on a Thursday morning show, woman speaking in Michigan. And people have been talking also about Attorney General Barr and how he is not putting up with this. I think when push came to shove, he pushed his own envelope very, very far with Trump, covering Trump, unifying with Trump. But something, I guess, got into his conscious mind that he is an American and that this was affecting the government, people, you know, the trust in democracy. And I think he's leaving and he wants to go out with some last memory or legacy of doing the right thing. And so he's fine with sacrificing himself, and, you know, Trump will dump him. It's hard to stand against a mindset with cultism in it. And that's why so many people, boy, they're very, very mesmerized and they're very, very seduced.
Well, that comment came in after yesterday's program. You're listening to WMNF in Tampa. Three women were arrested last year as part of a high-profile human trafficking sting in South Florida. They were sentenced earlier this week as part of a plea agreement with Palm Beach County prosecutors. While avoiding further jail time, the women must still pay the state hefty fees estimated to be about $45,000 for allegedly facilitating the sexual gratification of massage customers, including New England Patriots owner Robert Kraft. I'm reading from Reason magazine right now. Meanwhile, all charges against Robert Kraft were dropped a few months ago after the courts ruled the state's massage room surveillance footage inadmissible. Joining us now is Amber DiPietra, who's a local artist, a disability rights activist, and the co-founder of the Tampa Bay Area Chapter of Sex Workers Outreach Project. And we're going to talk about the fact that Kraft is paying no price, and the three women involved are paying about $45,000. And Amber, welcome to WMNF. Good to have you here.
Hi, Rob. Thank you.
Thanks for coming on. So what did you make of the decision this week that the women involved in the Robert Kraft sex sting, they're gonna have to pay heavy fines? Kraft is going free.
Yeah. Well, sadly, we know that this is how it always goes, right? And it's not just an issue of the woman takes the fall while the man does not. It's also the super wealthy, you know, can get away with what is considered a crime, while a woman who's trying to pay her rent is going to be ruined for life.
How has this issue gone among sex workers around the country? How important is this issue since this news came out that the women involved will have to pay a big fine?
It's a huge issue. You know, we are talking about starting a crowdfunding effort to help the main woman, Shen Mingdi, pay some of her fees. But, you know, this is why SWAP National is an organization that's lobbying for decriminalization of prostitution, because this whole thing started off as a supposed sex trafficking thing. And there was no sex trafficking. These women were consensual adults. So who's really being helped by them now being having to pay all these fines, have a permanent criminal record as an immigrant? You know, who was saved here in this supposed sex trafficking thing?
You said this happens all the time? This is pretty much what happens. The men go free and the women or the sex workers pay the price.
No, not necessarily what I'm saying, just in a general sense of society being patriarchal, but what does happen all the time, certainly, is that someone who, like Robert Kraft, who has a lot of money, is just like Trump saying he could shoot someone on the street and get away with it. Of course, Robert Kraft got off. He has lots of money. And those crimes, in quotes, don't apply to him. But the workers, the working class people, because sex work is work, prostitution, which is consensual erotic labor, is work, they have to pay.
Tell me about the work of your organization, SWOP, the Sex Workers Organizing Project. What's the intent of your group?
So SWOP is a national grassroots organization that started in 2003 to try to reduce stigma around sex work being a whole gamut of things ranging from legal to illegal. So, you know, of course, prostitution is an adult consensual sex act, which is completely legal. And so we started to reduce stigma and promote awareness of the human rights violations that go on in the multi-billion dollar global sex industry, and to push for decriminalization. So there's SWOP chapters in most major cities with a national chapter that oversees as an umbrella.
And Palm Beach County, it's a liberal county. You've got Dave Ehrenberg, who's the prosecutor there, who's quite liberal. So what do you make of, you know, in a liberal county, the sex workers are going to have to pay a hefty fine, and this billionaire NFL team owner walks?
Yeah. Well, because there's this conflation that sex trafficking is the same as prostitution, and it is not. So people get in this moral panic. They think that there's, you know, caches of sex trafficking victims being hidden in all these different places, and we have to fund the police heavily to surveil and then bust these places up. And so there's tons of resources being put towards this, you know, ending of quote-unquote sex trafficking, when in fact what you have is adult consensual sex work or prostitution. And liberals, as well as conservatives, have been fooled into thinking, often by the way the media covers it, but often by the way it's spun from certain kinds of trafficking organizations, that sex trafficking is the same thing as adult consensual sex work.
Amber, the Super Bowl is headed our way. We may or may not have crowds regarding Super Bowl, and as long as we're talking about sex trafficking, we're about to see a large wave if the, you know, any sort of tourism numbers come back by the early part of February. We're about to see a large wave of news stories about sex trafficking, and
yep.
You know, there are going to be people raising the alarm. How do you view it as somebody who is part of the Sex Workers Outreach Project? How do you view the stories that we're about to see?
So those stories are greatly inflated by, you know, people who have a misunderstanding, like I'm saying, that sex trafficking is the same as adult consensual sex work. You know, originally this woman was saved as a sex trafficking victim, the Robert Kraft person who was a masseuse, and now she's a criminal whose life will be ruined. So we, you know, have this moral panic around sexuality and body autonomy and what adults can do with their bodies, and so there are many interested parties who want to conflate sex trafficking and consensual adult sex work together, and so we're going to hear a ton of that around the Super Bowl. And what it's going to do is confuse the message and make real resources be diverted from people that are actually being sex trafficked, because there are actual sex trafficking victims, but we wouldn't notice them for all the hype about arresting consenting women at massage parlors.
Well, that raises the question, how should law enforcement target actual examples of sex trafficking and the exploitation of underage people? How could law enforcement best deal with that subject, but also at the same time, people who are consenting adults who choose to work in this profession, leave them alone?
Yeah, so it's about priorities and it's about public education and where law enforcement is getting pressure from social opinion on where to put their priorities. And as far as, you know, focusing on underage children who are involved in sex trafficking, well, then, of course, the answer is to work more closely with local agencies who know about runaways and homeless youth and where they're at and what their life is like. Also, you know, many of the advertising platforms that escorts and erotic massage providers used to use were good ways to go through and see, oh, that is an underage, you know, that's a child. They shouldn't be here, and look into it. So it was a way to find them, and now that's completely in the dark because those advertising sites have been banned.
So it's gone even into the darkest corners of the internet. That's where it's gone.
Yes, it's pushed further into the dark web now that the Stop Enabling Sex Trafficking Act got passed, which meant that things like Backpage and Craigslist, which would have the ads for erotic massage or a companionship date, that has now become illegal through FESTA.
Well, Amber, those are my questions regarding the Robert Kraft case and the charges against three women who work for the Orchids of Asia massage parlor, including one, Shen Mingbi, who was charged with one count of deriving support from prostitution and 10 counts of soliciting another for prostitution. At first count is a felony. She's among the women that are going to have to pay around $45,000 in fines. Robert Kraft of the New England Patriots, he's going to walk away free, even though he was arrested for being at this massage parlor. Is there anything else you would like to tell us about this case?
As far as the case goes, you know, if you really feel impassioned that these women and these massage parlors should have other options, then look into social service options. You know, those are the things to fund, not to ruin their life and surveil them and, you know, tie them down with these fines and criminal records. But I will add that as far as the Super Bowl goes, Swap Behind Bars, which is another chapter that works with incarcerated women and men who are recently out of prison, will be doing work around the Super Bowl trafficking hysteria, including bailout funds, because there will be many, many sex workers who are arrested on trumped-up sex trafficking charges. So if people are interested in getting to know more about that, go to Swap Behind Bars' website, swapbehindbars.org.
Well, Amber DiPietra, thanks a lot for coming on WMNF. It's great to have you here.
Yes, thanks.
Thanks, Amber. All right. Take care. Bye-bye. Amber DiPietra is a local artist, a disability activist, and the co-founder of the Tampa Bay Area Chapter of Sex Workers Outreach Project. And you're listening to WMNF in Tampa, 88.5 FM. We're going to open up the phone lines in just a few minutes and take your phone calls. And the number to call to comment is 813-239-9663. Also, you can send your email comment to dj@wmnf.org. And I'm going to mention a few stories that we could talk about. And let's see where the where our listeners want to take the conversation. U.S. employers sharply scaled back their hiring last month, and I'm reading this from the NPR website, and we heard this at the top of the hour. As the coronavirus pandemic put new pressure on restaurants, retailers, and other businesses, Labor Department said today that employers added just 245,000 jobs in November. That was down from a revised 610,000 jobs in October. The unemployment rate dipped to 6.7%. It was 6.9% the month before. So far, the U.S. has recovered 56%, only 56% of the jobs that were lost in March and April. And payroll employment is still 9.8 million below its pre-pandemic levels. So we've got 9.8 million jobs to go just to get back to where we were last spring. This week, the U.S. set a record with more than 100,000 people hospitalized with coronavirus. More than 200,000 new infections were diagnosed just yesterday. And nearly 3,000 people died that day yesterday from COVID-19. So we could talk about that. And I've got some sound about a press conference that happened yesterday about COVID-19. We'll hear that in just a moment. Southwest Airlines is moving closer to the first furloughs in its history. Yesterday, the airline warned nearly 7,000 employees that they could lose their jobs unless labor unions accept concessions to help Southwest cope with a sharp drop in travel during the pandemic. Southwest is seeking pay cuts of about 10% in exchange for no furloughs through next year. The airline's top labor relations official says negotiations with unions have stalled, but unions say they have proposed cost-cutting measures to Southwest, but management has rejected them. Workers at Amazon at a warehouse in Alabama are seeking to form a union, setting up a big battle in a strong anti-union state with a company that has opposed unionization across the country. Employees at Amazon filed a petition last month with the National Labor Relations Board saying they want to hold an election about forming a union with collective bargaining power for the workers at the warehouse in Bessemer, Alabama. U.S. Senator Bernie Sanders of Vermont last week tweeted his support for the Alabama workers, saying that if Amazon workers in Alabama, a strong anti-union state, vote to form a union, then it will be a shot heard round the world. For the seventh year in a row, the city of St. Petersburg has scored a perfect 100 on the Human Rights Campaign's annual Municipal Equality Index, the only nationwide assessment of LGBTQ inclusion in municipal law, policies, and services. St. Pete was one of six cities in Florida to receive a perfect score out of the 20 Florida cities and 506 municipalities ranked. And I'm reading this from a press release sent out by the city of St. Petersburg earlier today. Fresh off another rejection in Pennsylvania's courts, Republicans are again asking the U.S. Supreme Court to undo President-elect Joe Biden's victory in Pennsylvania. Lawyers for the state of Pennsylvania say there are fatal flaws in the original case brought by the Trump team, and they think that the U.S. Supreme Court justices are highly unlikely to take the case. Pennsylvania Supreme Court threw out the case just last Saturday. And elections officials are investigating the actions of a Panama City lawyer who they say tried to register to vote in the Georgia Senate races. Those Senate races will decide control of the U.S. Senate. Georgia's Secretary of State said in a statement yesterday that the Florida attorney was videotaped at a political rally encouraging Florida Republicans to register to vote in Georgia for the January 5th Senate runoff elections. The election supervisor in Georgia's Paulding County says the lawyer went online and attempted to register to vote using the address of his brother. The lawyer told WSB-TV in Atlanta that he was only joking. It's illegal to temporarily register to vote in Georgia if you have no intent of living there. And President Trump will be going to Georgia. I think he's going to be in Valdosta tomorrow to campaign for the U.S. Senate candidates. Well, in the last days of the Trump administration, the U.S. Bureau of Land Management plans to hold an oil and gas lease sale for Alaska's Arctic National Wildlife Refuge next month. It comes just weeks before President-elect Biden is set to take office. Biden has opposed oil drilling in that region. Conservation groups criticized the announcement by the Trump administration yesterday as rushed and based on environmental reviews that are being challenged in court, and that it's too soon to allow the drilling leases to be sold. Our phone number, 813-239-9663. Email address is dj@wmnf.org. Let's take a call, and we'll see where listeners want to take this conversation. You're listening to 88.5 FM WMNF in Tampa. Cindy Philpott is our phone producer today. Oh, looks like we don't have a call. Okay. Here's a call. This is from Dee Dee in Trinity, Florida. Hi, Dee Dee. Thanks for calling. What would you like to say?
Yes, I was wondering why the media wasn't addressing the Mitch McConnell wanting to hold back the funding for the stimulus package because he wanted corporations to be not liable for coronavirus, for the effects of the coronavirus on the employees. And I'll take the response off the air, but I wish more media people were talking about that. I think it's a disgrace.
Okay. Thanks, Dee Dee. Thank you. Thanks. The way I understand it, and I could be wrong, is that businesses right now want in that relief package to have some protection against lawsuits if people come into their business, whether it's employees or whether it's patrons, and get COVID-19 as a result of coming into that business. So they want some protection from lawsuits over that. And it looks like Mitch McConnell, that's one of the sticking points in reaching an agreement over the COVID-19 relief package. Mitch McConnell wants to provide that protection. It's really a regulation that would protect businesses. So what do you think of that? Is that a good regulation to have? 813-239-9663. Let's go to Ron in West Tampa. Hey, Ron, you're on M&F. What's up?
Hey, what's up? Well, you know, I just found it amazing. I had to just vent a little bit that, you know, with COVID cases rising and setting record rates, both here in Florida and nationwide, it seems, on a daily basis, you know, not a word from Trump, not any comfort, not any resolve to try to be human, decent, even for a day, even for an hour, to reach out to people and say, even though there's going to be a change in the administration, which, of course, in my opinion, he's not want to do, because that would be, in a way, conceding. But not a word from him about anything other than I was cheated, it's fraud, the election was fixed, this and that. And, it, you know, it gets to be very discouraging. It gets to be very disheartening when someone who has given you every example of not being a diplomat, not being a person of dignity in the office of president, is not even trying to reach out to people who are suffering so much loss of life, so much illness. And I wonder how Trump supporters would find a way to juxtapose that with any reasonable explanation, you know? And I also wanted to say that I was pretty disheartened about the fact that he being Trump, wants to open up ANWR, the Arctic Reserve, and Tongass as well for logging on his way out. It's kind of like a scorched earth policy. Here's a petulant child who's angry, and he's going to give away whatever he can to his benefit and to the benefit of his cronies up there. And, you know, he's going to do it as a way of thumbing his nose at the whole country and saying, I'm going to do what I want on the way out. So that's all I had to say.
All right, Ron, thanks a lot. Thanks for your thoughts. 813-239-9663. Do you think that the president has done much major work in the last few weeks since the election? And do you think that there is a big push in this country? Is there a big demand from the people of this country to open up more of our public spaces to oil drilling? Do you think that gasoline prices are too high and that we need to find more sources of energy? What do you think? 813-239-9663. If you're concerned about the environment, what do you think about the president selling off rights to drill in public land as one of the last things he does in this administration? What do you think? 813-239-9663. Jeff sent in this email earlier. He said the story about Robert Kraft and the women who are going to have to pay the heavy fine, this story brings to mind the situation regarding Jeffrey Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell. It seems that there might have been some high-profile figures involved in that, but I don't know if the public will ever find out what was going on and who was involved. That's Jeff's email. Jeff, thank you for that. And Peace writes, let's hope Robert Kraft does his contract workers right and pays all the fines and court fees. Peace, thank you for that. And let's go back to the phones. Cindy Philpott, by the way, is our phone producer today. Let's go to Nav in Tampa. Nav, thank you for calling. What's on your mind?
Thanks, Rob, for taking my call. Rob, I wanted to discuss karma, and I really believe in it. What goes around comes around. And for almost 4 years, you know, Trump supporters had to listen to the Russian collusion with no evidence, and it was hammered, you know, by the media and by everyone for 4 years without a single ounce of evidence, and nothing came of it. And now I think karma is in play with, you know, this Trump and using, you know, this concept of the election being stolen with no proof. I understand that. And look how frustrated Biden supporters are after only 4 weeks. Could you imagine if they had to put up with this for 4 years? So that's point number one. And then also, when they had the rioting and looting in Seattle and Portland and other cities across the country, you know, senior Democratic politicians kept quiet the whole time. And again, so now you've got some, you know, right wing, you know, they're kind of off in left field with their statements. And, you know, top Republicans are keeping quiet. Again, that's karma. What goes around comes around. Just the way the Democratic leadership doesn't want to insult its base because those riders were their voters. It's the same thing with the Republicans. So I don't understand why people call into your show and they're so upset and so holier than thou and, you know, always on Trump's back. I just want your opinion on that. Do you see a double standard or is it just me?
I think it's just you, Nev. Hey, thanks a lot for your call. Thank you. 813-239-9663. It is interesting that Michael Flynn, who was involved in reaching out to the Russians before the Trump administration took over and was convicted of lying about that and then pardoned by the president, now Michael Flynn is calling for martial law. And he wants to see the president throw out the results of the election and have a new election staged under military rule. I do think that there was something to look at when it came to Russian involvement with the Trump campaign, with the incoming Trump administration. And, you know, it was worth looking into. And we still, I don't think we still know the truth about it. I think people are welcome to call in just like Nav did and vent. I think that's fine. And if, you know, that's sort of what call-in shows are about, isn't it? I try not to vent, but we do have listeners that feel very strongly. I think that's okay. And if you feel strongly about something or if you feel modestly about something, you can call us up, 813-239-9663. Let's go to a DJ in Tampa. DJ, thanks for calling. What's up?
DJ smells so good on the check-in. Great morning to you. Calling in, if I may, on a up note. I mean, you put out a lot of doom and gloom. I'm just saying. So I just want to put on a little up note. I'm a self-published, first-time book writer. You know what I'm saying? I'm signing it right now to bring you your copy in the next 30 minutes to drop it off to your front desk. And I just want to put it out there to people. It's called The Pokey. It's a jailhouse memoir. It's a deterrent from going to jail, which Trump should be reading this book. It is a very pertinent book that I think I should send him directly because this is where he might be heading at, so he might as well go ahead and get an up and up on what's going on. It's also available in the Hillsborough County Public Library System. Shouts out to hcplc.org. And, again, it's called The Pokey, Jailhouse Memoir. This is a book that has 5-star ratings from the ACLU, and I would recommend if you've been locked up, do not buy the book. If you've never been locked up, buy the book and read it to your grandkids, nieces, and nephews to deter them from going down the same path that I myself and others have taken, but I myself have given you a bird's-eye view versus other people who have written books just to kind of demean the Department of Corrections and, you know, talk bad about it. This is definitely not that. This is written in a very professional way, like I say, to deter people. This is the time that we need deterrence, you know what I'm saying? Not to be anything else. We just
okay.
need deterrence.
All right,
thanks
DJ, and the book is called The Pokey. All right.
House memoir, and I'll be there in 30 minutes to drop yours off at the front.
All right. DJ, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Good to hear from you. 813-239-9663. Well, in Florida, the number of coronavirus cases increased yesterday by about 10,800. Now we have more than 1 million, as you've heard, COVID-19 cases here in Florida. Deaths rose by 98, almost 18,900. Yesterday, Pinellas County Administrator Barry Burton warned that without any major changes, things are going to get much worse in Pinellas County regarding the pandemic. Let's listen to what the county administrator warned us about yesterday in Pinellas County.
The numbers of our cases and the numbers around the country continue to go up. Our seven-day average continues to be 231 cases. If we look at our percent positivity, on October 30th, it was 4.2%. On November 29th, it was 8.4%. It still continues to hover on a seven-day average of about 5.6%. But we also know that we operate as a region. In Pasco County, the seven-day average is 9.53%. And in Hillsborough County, 7.12%. As you can see, our numbers as a region is too high. And we need to do what we can to try to minimize the community spread of coronavirus. The last 4 weeks, our death toll has averaged between 13 and 20 new cases per week. Our testing sites, down at the Tropicana Fields in October 30th, we had 525 people be tested. This past Tuesday, we had over 1,400. The lines are at maximum. We've had to shut down our sites early because of the number of people trying to get in to get a test. That's an indicator of people that are concerned throughout the county. Our hospitals, we've seen an uptick in our hospitals. Is there capacity? Yes. But we're seeing the uptick. So the story is very clear that unless we take additional steps, what's going to occur? On October 30th, we had 32 COVID patients on ventilators. November 29th, 57. 16% of our ICU beds are COVID patients. A recent USF model indicates that if we continue on this path by February, we will stress our hospital system beyond capacity. It also shows that moderate increase in social distancing and the use of masks will make a huge difference in maintaining our status and keeping us safe. The problem, you know, is very clear. The cold weather, the flu season, the coronavirus, it all comes together. It all stresses our healthcare system, and it all stresses our first responders. We need to stay the course, but we need a renewed effort to go back to what we started, which was enforcing the use of masks and socially distancing as much as reasonably possible.
All right, somehow we lost the end of that. That was Barry Burton, who is the county administrator in Pinellas County, warning that things are getting worse when it comes to COVID-19 and suggesting that his county is not alone. I think the takeaway from that press conference yesterday was the hospital system will be beyond its capacity by February in Pinellas County. That's shocking. The sheriff in Pinellas County, Bob Gualteri, followed Burton yesterday at that press conference and said some bars and restaurants were practicing social distancing and then some were ignoring it altogether. And we know that bars and restaurants, when people go inside, those are some of the most dangerous places to be. What do you think? Our phone number, 813-239-9663. Email address, dj@wmnf.org. And let's go back to the phones, and we're going to go to Sharon in St. Pete. Hi, Sharon. You're on MNF. Thanks for calling in.
Hi. Good morning, Rob. I love your show.
Thank you.
I'm very sick, and I have been practicing everything. And my I'm on a Social Security, so my bills have been like $130 more every month because of the COVID, because I don't go shop. I just can't be around those people that won't wear masks and don't protect themselves. My husband died on June 30th. And it's a really devastating way to end your life. That this is what our government does for us. I spent years of my life working on it as a precinct woman and for the Democrats, of course, but. I'm just devastated by how the lack of any governmental intervention to help people. You know, me and my cat, me and Pinky will die.
Pinky's your pet. I take it. Sharon, did your husband die from COVID?
Yes.
Yeah, and so you're. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
So you're. What kind of government help do you think is needed?
Well, I just got my stimulus check 2 weeks ago. That's how, right? The one that was sent out right in April or May?
The one with Donald Trump's signature on it?
Uh-huh. Right. And I got and I got his letter with his signature. Thanks so much, buddy. You know, as you rape the nation. I'm sorry, man. I just can't believe in this guy at all. And I don't know why people do it.
Yeah, so the stimulus check, another stimulus check would help you pay to have your groceries delivered. Is that, am I guessing right?
Well, yeah, because I'm still trying to keep my health insurance and life insurance going on, and it's getting more and more difficult because I only get, you know, that one check a month, and I have to pay my rent, and it's just really difficult now. Mm-hmm. It's really different. I'm so sorry to be so negative. But, you know, people need to know this. I will not be evicted, but there may be a lot of people evicted. And what's going to happen to them? And how healthy will they be?
Yeah, that's a good question. Sharon, thanks a lot. Thank you for calling in.
Sorry.
No, it's fine.
I'm so negative.
No, it's fine. It's fine. It's real. Sharon, thank you. And I think as we get closer, a lot of the moratoriums on evictions are running out. So I suspect that in the next few weeks, we'll be talking a lot about that here on MNF. I'm glad Sharon doesn't think she's going to be evicted. Let's go to Joe in Winter Haven. Hey, Joe, thanks for calling. What's up?
Well, I was calling about the first question at the beginning here with Mitch McConnell, the comment that the caller said that wanted to protect businesses and was holding up stimulus.
Right.
You know, it's one of those things that everybody has their own choice whether they walk into a business or not. Everybody has their own choice whether they go to a football game or whether they, you know, go to a particular place. And at some point, I think people have to take personal responsibility. And for a business to stay open and for this economy to work, you know, people have to be able to come in and use their services or buy their goods. And I think that people can protect themselves. And if they don't feel safe, they don't have to attend.
Yeah. Joe, I think there's some merit to that. But at the same time, I think part of what McConnell wants is protection for businesses from workers' lawsuits, too. So if a worker has to go to work, they don't want to get fired. And it's got to be, you know, some people have to be in person for work. And let's say the employer is not doing enough to keep social distance and provide masks and hand sanitation and all that. If McConnell wants to protect those employers from lawsuits, do you think that he's right?
Well, I don't think that's the intent at all. And I think that, you know, there already are protections in place that if someone doesn't feel comfortable going to work, they can't be fired for that reason. There's already protections in place for that. And I, you know, if there's a bad employer out there, we can't legislate against the one half of 1% and penalize everyone else for that. I mean, if the person that works at Publix doesn't feel comfortable going in, I'm sure that the folks at Publix aren't going to fire them for that.
Yeah. All right. So you think McConnell's being reasonable? I'm not arguing with you, but you think McConnell's being reasonable, and that people, if you don't feel safe going into a store or any sort of retail establishment, don't go in. That's what you're saying.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay, yeah. Joe, thanks a lot.
Certainly, have a great day.
Thank you. All right. So what do you think of Joe's point? 813-239-9663. Email address dj@wmnf.org. I'm going to have to read more about exactly what kind of protections Mitch McConnell is asking for. because I got to say I'm not up to speed on everything that he's calling for. 813-239-9663. Edward writes this. One of the things I've read is that Mitch McConnell wants to have protections for businesses that have required employees to come to work during COVID. At the beginning of this pandemic, several companies mandated that employees not wear masks or other PPE. I bet that's what the regulations are really trying to protect, companies that were responsible for giving employees COVID due to their negligence. So Edward kind of disagreeing with Joe. I got to say, I don't have a newspaper article in front of me quoting McConnell or the other people that really are on the inside, so I don't know. But I suspect if I were a betting man, and I'm not, I would bet that it's partly trying to protect employers from workers' lawsuits, but we'll see. 813-239-9663. Let's go to Ron in Mango. Hey, Ron, you're on M&F.
Hi, Rob. Do I have to wait about a second as they airbomb me? This is my daily regular routine. Okay, it's almost out of range.
Are you at the Avon? Where are you?
I'm in the Notre Dame, but they fly over my house regularly. I call the airport about it. I'm talking about extremely low, too. Like okay. They're dumping the gas or something on my trees. I don't even know.
Oh, no. So what's up?
Hey, I'm sitting here enjoying the information, but it's not a lot of information on what I think is going to be pertinent for us to move forward. Because, like the lady said, proportionately is that people are being affected unknowingly by this epidemic. And then for somebody to say that we've gotten all the help that we need and we should feel secure about it or we should just do this or that is just fodder. That's nothing. I mean, we're in a bad place. I mean, the kids can't go to parks because I have them grandkids, and they go, and I'm kind of skeptical. They can't play with other kids. They can't be up on stuff, all kind of little stuff that's causing a conscious disconnect.
So, Ron, what do you think? What do you think government at the local level or state level or federal level needs to do?
Well, Rob, at this point, there's nothing that I can say other than we wear our masks because that's what they say. I heard one professional say that worked better than the vaccine if we wore the mask. So why we just didn't give that the shot the first time is what I'm confounded by. Why?
Yeah, well, Ron, you've got a governor that thinks that we should not have mask ordinances around the state.
Yeah, I know. That's all for politics, though, Rob. I mean, you know, come on, you know that. That's all for politics and political Gander, you know,
okay.
Prompting myself
okay.
out there. But
all right.
To leave you with something, this is what I call for. The Albany, Georgia, I have relatives in that vicinity, and it was one of the hardest hit areas by COVID when it first started. Okay, so I want to know what the president going there for, really, or the outgoing president for, because the people are really upset in that area about it.
All right, so that's right near Valdosta, is that?
That's Valdosta, yeah. Albany. You probably could look it up yourself, but I had it from the inside that there's a lot of people that died real quick. Like, it's not a joke. I mean, I don't take it for a joke. I'm not thinking it's a joke. I don't think life is a joke anyway, but people have for so long that this might be the karma that people get. I mean, you get a guy that don't care, like the sky's falling, you can't hear it, you can't see it, and the people are just stuck with whatever happens from falling from the sky.
Yeah. All right, Ron, thanks a lot.
Believe something they say. This is the problem, bro. I leave you with this. How can I believe anything them people say? I'm saying them people because there's a lot of them.
You're talking about the people in the Trump administration?
Well, people that believe that this guy has some moral fortitude or fortitude for other human beings and human mankind. And not only him, it's a lot more. You got them in the Democrats, too. They're heartless. You know what the word comes after that. It's just heartless, man.
Yeah,
look at our condition.
Okay, Ron, thanks a lot.
State of the world. Environment, everything.
Thank you, Ron. Thank you. All right. Always great to hear from you. 813-239-9663. Let's go to David in Clearwater. David, thanks for calling in. What would you like to say?
Good morning, Rob. So many things, and I've probably forgotten half of them, but the last caller boiled it down to when he said, wear your mask. That's what Fauci said when it started. Wear a mask. Keep away from people. Government doesn't have to do that. We have to do that. The government can help by making it illegal not to. we've all got to get on the same page here, or we're going to lose a heck of a lot more people. Comment on the caller that said that Democrats were getting real tender about everything, and the Republicans have had it for 4 years. And he made a statement that there was no collusion in the investigation into Russian tampering with the United States election. There was plenty of evidence of collusion, but at the beginning of the report, Robert said collusion is not a crime. Conspiracy is a crime, and he couldn't find his investigation didn't turn up anything where somebody made a quid pro quo, this for that, and acted together. There was plenty of collusion. Release the emails was one of the things that that Trump said during the campaign.
All right, David, thanks a lot. You know, I think we could get to the bottom of this. I don't think we know the whole story. And there are people who've been prevented from testifying about the possible Russian involvement in the Trump campaign in 2016. I think we should let them testify. I think people that were involved in perhaps the cover-up, they should be allowed to testify, too. A lot of people have not testified. 813-239-9663 is our phone number. Thanks for listening to WMNF. And let's go to Neil in St. Petersburg. Hi, Neil. Thank you for calling.
Morning, Rob. I wanted to talk about the drilling, but I have information on the lawsuit protection that McConnell wants to do.
Okay.
If it's anything like the first one that he tried to slip in back when they first put it up, it not only is to protect all the workers, all the companies that have done wrong, but it was supposedly actually even expanding lawsuit protection for, like, stuff that they've always wanted to do all along that have nothing to do with COVID. And if you remember, the meatpacking plants were not following CDC guidelines in the beginning. And through reporting, it was already proven that when it was ripping through those meatpacking places and a lot of people died at those different places, those are the people who should be able to sue because they were deliberately not being protected by their employer. And Mitch McConnell is trying to take that away from the poor victims and their families. So I think that's horrible. And he's definitely not looking out for anybody but big corporations. He does not care about rank and file Americans and their lives.
And Neil, not that I doubt you, but tell me your source. For instance, are you a trial lawyer, or you're just what you've read?
When it first came out, they broke down literally the legal, you know, meaning of it on NPR and on some other shows, other, you know, mainstream shows where they bring on, you know, the legal analysts to break it down. So if you do a little research, you'll be able to find it.
Okay.
From the first proposal.
You know, I'm sure I read those stories. I forgot the details of it, so I hesitate to speak off the top of my head when I don't remember.
Yeah, I heard there were some goodies in there for the oil companies, too, when it came to lawsuits that had nothing to do with COVID.
All right, well, I'll have to look up that. Neil, thanks a lot. Thank you for that.
Can I say one other thing on the drilling?
Quickly, if you don't mind.
Hopefully, Biden will, like you had the guest yesterday with executive order and contracts, hopefully before the sales happen, Biden will just tell them all, listen, if you bid on to opening up Anwar, then you're getting banned from contracts with the federal government, and then no one will bid on them.
All right. Good point. Thank you, Neil. Thank you.
Thanks.
Let's go to John in St. Pete. Hey, John, thanks for calling. What's up?
Hey, Rob. I just want you to know I got tested a couple weeks ago, and I came down with COVID really, really bad. And four people in my work had it, but I was the worst. And I just want to tell some people that told me, well, it's just like the flu, and it's not. I've never been as sick in my life as I was with that.
Tell us what you can tell us. Tell us what you're comfortable telling us about being that sick.
I was exposed at work, tested because that person was exposed, tested negative. 5 days later, I started coming down with just feeling really, really bad at work. I'm a delivery driver. So I immediately went to Tropicana Field. I knew I was sick, and it came back with positive. Within 24 hours, I was in bed, couldn't do anything. I had a fever of 102 for 5 days, couldn't keep any food down, and I'm skinny to begin with, and I've lost 15 pounds. Woke up on the floor trying to get to the bathroom. Don't even know how I ended up on the floor, almost delirious. called my healthcare provider, and they said, well, if your O2 level is not such and such, we are not going to admit you to the VA, which is where I get my healthcare. So I had to ride it out at home, and it was 8 days of probably the worst sickness I've ever had in my life. So I really get offended when people say that this is just a flu, it's no big deal. So I say to people, wear the stupid mask, you know, and I always wear a mask, and I still got it, but you know, it's the only protection you got. And, you know, I'm 67 years old and I have a history of cancer and I'm still working. So it's hit me really, really, really hard. Now, I want people to understand it's not a joke.
All right, John, thanks a lot. I'm glad you survived. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
All right. Brian writes in to say this, as a born and raised Alaskan who's now living in Clearwater, I have firsthand knowledge of climate changes and the other negative effects of opening up wildlife refuges. I am not a Trump supporter, but what he's doing is nothing new. Alaska's own representatives have sold their souls for decades to the oil companies. The oil companies are like cartels that hold Alaskans hostage with threats of job losses when taxes are raised during profitable times. They steal all the oil, all the profits, and sneak out of town when the aftermath of their destruction becomes evident, writes Brian. Brian, thank you for that. And let's go back to the phones, and we're going to go. Let's see who's been holding a long time. Kevin in Bradenton. Kevin, thanks for calling. What's up?
Oh, hey, Rob. Great show today. Wow, it's gone everywhere. But that last call was great also. Really hope that guy does okay. Hey, so many different things. I just want to touch on a few. The guy that was saying people won't get fired, you know, please, man, this, in a right-to-work state, if you have a non-union job, find out how many rights you actually have before you say that. And then the other two things I wanted to bring up.
Yeah, they can fire you for no reason in this state.
Right.
They don't have to give a reason. Yes, go ahead.
That was a ridiculous thing to say. The other thing, I was waiting for my car today, and I was reading about the businesses that got the majority of the small business loans. And this is a tremendous scandal that somehow, I mean, I think even ProPublica has something about it, that the actual guys like Tom DeGeorge that you've had on your show aren't getting the money that they're supposed to be getting. It's all going from the banks to the big businesses, or at least the majority of it is. And finally, I want to say this real quick. Trump and DeSantis speak volumes without saying a word when the worst health crisis in the history of this country, and anybody that doesn't believe it, is just not paying attention. They haven't.
They have to dump you just because we can't. We want to keep our license, so we're going to have to dump you. Sorry about that. But don't use that kind of language when you call in. You're going to jeopardize our license. Let's go to Sasha in Pasco County. Sasha, thanks for calling. What would you like to say?
Yeah, hi, everyone. Thank you, everybody, for calling and sharing. I want to express my deepest sympathies to the women callers lost, and I do want to help. I wanted to say that I went to a vaccine study with AstraZeneca this past Tuesday, and I felt that was part of my global civic duty. And the reason that I did it was because there's so much fear and anger and hate. I wanted to reassure my friends, family, and anybody in the community that if the vaccine that I had that was in the study level felt nothing more than a flu, regular flu vaccine. So I felt
wait a minute. So you got the COVID vaccine or you got the flu vaccine?
I got the COVID vaccine.
Okay. All right.
In the AstraZeneca study, it was the dead vaccine. It doesn't need to be refrigerated because we're in the middle of a pandemic, a global pandemic, not an epidemic. So the non-refrigerated vaccine through AstraZeneca will reach more of the global population to help gain some sort of herd immunity. So I just wanted to reassure people that I felt great the next day after getting the COVID-19 study vaccine. I felt great. I went to work. I had a great attitude. I shared my coworkers. Some of them wanted to get in on the study. And we just need some unity for our communities. So I wanted to just share too to the Go ahead, Ross.
Yeah, Sasha, we're out of time. But thank you very much. Thanks. I'm very interesting that study is going on locally. If you want to comment about today's show, please call us up at 813 813- 238-8001 and record your comment on extension 115. We'll play your comments back Monday morning at 11 o'clock. Stay tuned for the news and then the Midpoint program. Today we've got a substitute host for Janelle. Got a really good program coming up, and this is W.